I'm speaking right now to John Molyneux, who's calling us from Brittany. When you were in the band, and before and after that as well, what was the state of folk music in the UK? What kind of things were happening? What was the atmosphere?
Well, at the band time, I would not be able to tell you anymore because, as I said, I joined the band in, 78? And I was already out of the country then since 76, you mm-hmm. see. So I actually have virtually zero experience of the UK since then. Very, very little. So that I can't tell you about. I can tell you far more about the situation of traditional music in France, in fact.
Well, why don't you do that? What is the state? Well, what's going on over there right now?
What is it? I'll be precise about where I live. I live in Brittany, as I said at the beginning, is the very westernmost part of France. You fall off the end and the next bar's in New York. And I suppose if Americans would have heard of one musician from here, it would be someone like Alan Stivell.
Right.
But it is, I'm sure you know, a Celtic country and has tremendous emotional connection and traditional connection with Ireland, Scotland, Galicia, and various other countries in the Celtic movement. And when Stivell was at the height of his popularity in the late 70s, mid and late 70s, there was a huge renaissance of this music. And dances, singing, because it's very, very specific music to Brittany. And it's also, and maybe some of your listeners won't know this, because I certainly didn't know before I lived here, that Brittany has one major language, which is nothing, in no way related to French whatsoever, which is the Breton language. It's as different as Welsh is from English. It's as different as Iroquois is from English, you know.
Oh, really? No, I didn't ever know that.
Oh, right. Well,
that's
it is. It is a totally different language. You literally can't understand one word if you're English or French speaking. There is another, somewhere between dialect and language, called Gallo in Brittany, but it is a very French influenced language. But the Breton language is a unique language, and it is very closely related, this is for linguists, it's related to the Cornish language in the southwest of England, which had totally died out and has been, in the last few tens of years, has been revived by scholars and great enthusiasts. It's the first cousin of the Welsh language, too. So in long-distant times, the Cornish person could understand Welsh and could understand Breton. So anyway, this music was really revived in, thanks to Stivell and quite a lot of other enthusiasts in the end of the 60s, early 70s. And when I came over here in 76, it was absolutely booming. And it is now actually healthier than ever. There are more really, really fine musicians here in Brittany than there ever have been, and also backed up by the most extraordinarily good instrument making, the quality of playing, singing, dancing, and everything else, and spreading it around, and, you know, teaching, and just the fact that people do get together to do it in a very natural way, and in these lovely night dances called festunoz, which night festivities, which are wonderful occasions, because people of absolutely every age get together. You get a tiny kid dancing next to maybe their grandparent, and as their chain dances, everybody helps everybody else to learn and get on with it. It's very region specific. You can go, you know, 20 miles, and the actual major local dance is not the same. And the number one instrument in Brittany is, of course, the voice,
mm-hmm.
as well. A lot of the dances are actually animated by singers.
Yeah. And you have some very specific instruments, like the bombard?
Yeah, The most famous Breton instruments is the couple of instruments, because they always play together, which is the bombarde, which is like a very short oboe. It's about a foot long. It's an oboe. It's just about a foot long. And it's very often in B-flat, like the Scottish pipes. A lot of Celtic instruments are in B-flat. And it's accompanied by a bagpipe, which is the most high-pitched bagpipe that exists in the world, called the biniucose. Biniu means bagpipe in Breton, biniucose. And that's an octave higher than the bombard. So they do... singing in reply. The first one to go, say, and on the last notes, the other one will pick up, and the first one, and so it's singing one to the other. It's called chant et discant, and the singers will do this, singing and counter-singing.
I love that aspect of the music.
And of course, they do tend to be, most of the Breton dances, not all, but quite majority are chain dances. And so you could have had, actually, at the beginning and at the end of the chain, one of each of the two musicians. So you'd have the canard at the front and the discanard at the end. And they could actually be quite close to each other, because it could be a snaky chain. And in fact, people, sometimes when if the electricity goes down here, there's no sound system working or anything else, well, people will do this. The musicians will just get down amongst the dancers, and the dancers will join in singing the music while they're dancing.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
So I would say that traditional music in Brittany is extremely healthy. It's financially not easy, but then it isn't easy anywhere in the world at the moment.
But, that's very true.
The quality and quantity it's never been better. Yeah.
So I'm speaking right now to John Molyneux, who's calling us from Brittany. And one thing, before I let you go, because there are a lot of dulcimer players in this area, I always say you can't throw a rock without hitting a dulcimer player in this part of Ohio.
Well, don't throw rocks in my
direction. But they're going to want to hear about your dulcichord. This is something that you have created, and nobody else has one of these. Explain that for us, please.
Well, I've got several instruments nobody else has one of. Because I've got the very great luck to be an instrument maker and a player. When you play an instrument and suddenly it really can't do what you want it to do, and you're dreaming of a sound, if you have the luck of being an instrument maker, in my case I'd been through violin making school, then you can make yourself the sound you're dreaming about. So the dulcichord is, as the name implies, a mixture of harpsichord and dulcimer. Because I was a bit frustrated by the lack of strings, but also by the lack of volume and tone color changes. Not that I wanted to replace the dulcimer, but I wanted other sounds as well. And so I made this thing using, it's a sort of a sound table on four legs, really. It doesn't have a closed sound box. It uses the harpsichord technique of having an extremely light sound table and the strings pressing on it very, very little. The strings go over the bridge more with lateral tension than they do with vertical tension, so you can have an extremely light table, which is extremely sensitive, and with very lightly strung, with very light strings, you can still have an enormous volume and color range, as good harpsichords do. So that was one of them anyway. And another one which is unique to me is a five-string electric dulcimer, because, again, using the five DADAD, you know, going across open strung two octaves, I wanted a whole lot of other sounds. So I went to see a microphone maker, a fellow who sadly died, called Michel Benedetti, but he made, during his lifetime, some of the very best they're electric guitar style mics. He made some of the best pickups that were ever made. I know Frank Zappa personally went to his house to pick his up. You know, they were that good. And Michel made me a whole set of them. And so I made myself, and also we put a MIDI system on it as well. which I don't use much, but it's useful for studio work.